Amen. Thank you, worship team. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with God's people, worshiping our Savior together. Praise His name. Do you look forward to that day when you will be gathered with all of God's children and the first face you see is Jesus? Gaze, look into His beautiful face. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to take them and turn with us. We are still, yes, in the wonderful book called the Bible of the Bibles, or Little Bible in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And we're in chapter 56 and 57 this morning. So Isaiah 56 and 57 this morning. Encourage you to take the Word of God, whether it's on your phone or actually the written Word that you have, copy with you, and encourage you to turn with us there. As you're turning, as you find your spot, let's just pause for a moment of prayer this morning and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank You that we can gather together as Your people to hear from Your Holy Spirit, to speak to us through the power of the Spirit in Your Word. And we pray, Lord, that today You'll bring to our attention those areas we need to get in alignment with You. But we are so grateful for what You've done for us, grateful for Your love expressed through Jesus Christ, grateful for the giving of Your Spirit to teach us all things concerning Christ. Grateful that we have the written Word of God, the breath of God, so that we can go deeper with You. And Lord, our desire this morning hour is, as we gather together, that You will just capture our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, that we will go deeper with You. Thank You for what You're going to do in these moments. We give You glory and praise, and we ask this in Jesus, our wonderful Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Now, there's a risk when it's 45 minutes before that wonderful hour that we all look forward to on Sunday called lunch. But let me ask you, when you are battling stress, worry, anxiety, troubles, hardships, sometimes you just need a good snack. You just need that wonderful two words that are put together called comfort food. Comfort food. Now, there's a danger in putting a slide up like that, because all of us are immediately tempted to get up, go out, and find our comfort food. What is your comfort food? For many, I'm going through them, it could be mac and cheese. Nothing like good mac and cheese, and sometimes you compare the different mac and cheeses, don't you? That one's cheesier, that one's creamier, so on. Or if we're Southern, we like the country fried chicken with the nice Southern gravy. Put that on some waffles. All right. And then, of course, those who are faithful to the American way, even though it was probably invented in Russia and Hamburg, Germany, hamburgers. Nothing like a good hamburger, right? You can just taste it, can't you? Sorry, I'm doing that to you. Or pizza. There's always room for pizza, right? And then who could resist? We always knew it was special in our house in the morning if my beloved wife made pancakes or waffles and served them with strawberries and whipped cream. Was it somebody's birthday? Oh, good comfort food. But my favorite is the next little picture. And it is grits. I love grits. I enjoy grits. When Sue and I were dating, I sent her a package. She's from Maine. I'm from Florida. Okay? Southern boy, northern girl. I sent her a package of instant grits. This was back in the day when Maine didn't know that even grits existed. So she got this package and received it and opened it up, and guess what? She ate it. But guess how she made it? With cream of wheat, with strawberries and whipped cream. Hey, but she can make a mean dish of grits today. Comfort food. What do you think of when you need comfort? I love the psalmist and the Psalms. Psalm 23 says, your rod and your staff, referring to the good shepherd, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we think of comfort, we don't think of a rod and a staff. I think of two eggs over easy with grits. But God Almighty, in his wisdom and sovereignty, wants to comfort you and me. What do you think of when you think of comfort? He wants us to come to him because we are needy people. And 56 and 57 of Isaiah speaks about that. But we are needy people. We all need to be healed of our brokenness, if we're honest. We are all broken. Most of us need God to come and mend and bind up our wounds and heal and comfort, restore us to himself. Whether we acknowledge this need, ignore its yearning and aching in our soul, we need to come and offer ourselves to Almighty God, our Creator, to come before him, to wait before him, to listen to his Holy Spirit, to give him our brokenness, our broken heart, and to have him come and minister and heal us and meet us. And he promises that if we come to him, he will meet us. He will meet you. He will meet you. To the one who fashioned us in his likeness, to come, to make us completely whole. Chapter 55 refers to that. 56 and 57, God has a word for you this morning. And not to get ultra-Pentecostal or charismatic, because there's some flavors of Christianity that people come up and they believe they're walking in the Spirit. Some are walking in the Spirit. Some are walking in the Spirit. And they say, the Lord has given me a word for you. But God has a word for you. And are we listening? Are you listening to his Spirit speak to you? Are you listening to it? Have you received it? Have you applied it? Have you obeyed it? Or are you rejecting his word? Are you just mocking him, or you forgot it? Other scriptures that refer to this, as the psalmist says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness. And we think, oh, the psalmist is comparing something there. What happened at Meribah? What happened at Massa? What happened? God was moving through Moses because the people of Israel, Exodus 17 and so on, speaks of that, where they were, the people, God's people, his people were complaining. They were quarreling with one another. They were arguing with one another. And they were saying, we have no water to drink. You brought us out here in this desert to die. Moses went before the Lord and says, these people are upset, God, and they're going to kill me. They're going to stone me. God says, go to the rock, speak to the rock, and out of the rock, water will come. Water will come. So Moses does that. God says, because you've quarreled, he says, you've hardened your hearts. Don't be like those people of God who have hardened their hearts. They've stopped listening to me, and they're quarreling, they're arguing, they're complaining. We don't ever do that, do we? We don't complain. We don't argue. Psalmist goes on and says this in Psalm 81, hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaks to his messengers who've given us the written word and reveals his heart. He desires for us to walk with him, to walk in his ways, to have fellowship with the Creator God, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. He wants you to walk with him. Hallelujah. That should be good news. That should be great news for you, to be encouraged to walk in his ways. Isaiah says here in chapter 56 and 57, a lot of verses, don't get scared. I know 12 o'clock is coming. Comfort food is calling. But Isaiah says, thus says the Lord. He says, keep justice, do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my righteousness be revealed. And he goes on to write, to say, blessed is the one who does this. Verse 2, the person who holds it fast. And he goes on and gives some requirements there. But God is saying, my desire for you, my people, is to walk with me and to walk in my ways. My word is for you. I like the way the CEV, Contemporary English Version, says about Hebrews 4:15. It says, Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. And here's the good news. If you know Christ this morning, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted him, his Holy Spirit is inside of you, resident in your life. And guess what? Christ in you gives you the ability, the strength. It's going to blow your mind. You ready for this? Christ in you gives you the ability and the strength not to sin. Whoa. Because it's Christ in you. Jesus Christ in a heart that is surrendered, a heart that is yielded, a heart, yes, that is broken and wounded, but by his stripes we are healed. That heart given totally to God, Christ in you, gives you the ability not to sin, because you are filled with his Spirit. You are walking in victory. You are walking in faith, and you are listening to the Lord, and you know that, hey, I don't have to give in to this temptation. Yield us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't have to give in to this. I can go God's way. Question is, are we hearing the Spirit in that moment of temptation? Are we listening to ourselves? In 56 and 57, God is reminding through the prophet Isaiah, he's reminding his people that his salvation is for all people, everyone, everywhere. He gives four specific messages to them throughout these two chapters so they would know of his everlasting love and faithfulness, and the promises that he gives. So let's look at them together. The first is that God gives word, his word to his followers. God's word to his followers. It's in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 56. He says here, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps their hands from doing any evil. That's verse 2. Oh no, the preacher's going there. I remember as a kid growing up, I couldn't watch TV on Sunday because it was considered the Sabbath. I remember as a kid growing up that grocery stores and stores were all closed on Sunday because it was the Sabbath. I remember my friends wanted to play outside with me, and I asked my mom, she said, no. Why? Because it was the Sabbath. And now the sacred hours, if they are sacred, might be 2 hours on Sunday. Maybe. And I know today's a big day for those who love football. But guess what? Today should be a bigger day for those who love Jesus. Just saying. We honor our love relationship with the Lord by spending time with Jesus and honoring his day. Think about it. He goes on and says, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dried up tree. That should speak to you. God doesn't care about me. I'm an outsider. God doesn't care about me. I've got this condition. I've got this issue. I am a eunuch. I cannot reproduce. I'm a dried up tree. I'm worn out. I'm old. My skin is wrinkled. I have spots where I didn't have spots before. God can't use me. Oh, that's rubbish. Shame on you for thinking that. God picked up and used Moses at 80 years old. Gave him strength to live another 40 years. To do what? Marvelous things for him. God can use you at whatever age you are at if you would yield yourself completely to him. Goes on and says, for this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and holds fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name. Better than sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. Wow. You mean the outsider who pleases the Lord, who comes to faith in Christ? You mean the person who feels that I'm of no use, I'm all shriveled up, I don't have any resources, I can't do anything, I'm old, my body's falling apart, it's just awful, and it's just, I'm filled with worry and fret, I am of no good to God. You mean God's going to do something in me if I come and yield myself to him? Yes, I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. New name, hallelujah, written down in glory. And it's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that should give you joy, and you should rejoice in that. And foreigners who bind themselves, verse 6, to me, to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep in the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and give them what? Give them what? Grumbling, complaining, quarreling? No. Give them what? Bitter water? No. Give them joy. Joy, joy in my house of prayer. Maybe the reason that you are struggling in your walk with God and your faith with God is because you haven't spent time with Jesus. Maybe it's because the sacred day that is to be the Sabbath is no longer sacred to you, and you've neglected that relationship to Jesus. Maybe the reason you're struggling in your faith is because you are no longer participating in the house of prayer. And therefore you are missing out on the joy of the Lord. Just saying. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Notice, their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Wow. Can I put a plug in? We're starting a new series on Wednesday nights for our adults, praying like the Apostle Paul. Encourage you to come Wednesday, 6:30. Let's gather together and move in the inner room with the Lord and allow Him to work in and through His people as we intercede for, yes, ourselves, but for others, that they will experience the kingdom of God in their lives. Verse 8 says, the sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Wow, what a passage. What a passage. Here we see that Isaiah gives the scripture and he says to my followers, these are God's people, these are my things. I want you to know that I'm coming, I'm going to return, and I'm returning specifically because I want to bless those who are obeying me. They are obeying me not just to keep rules, not to be legalistic. They're obeying me out of a heart that has been surrendered, a heart that is in love with me. That's why they're obeying me, because they love me. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. God says, I'm coming back because I'm going to honor those. I'm going to honor those who are foreigners. That probably blew the Jewish community's mind. Foreigners? What? Who are bound to me. I'm going to honor them. And I'm going to give them nourishment. They're not going to dry up. In fact, I'm going to give them a new name. I'm going to give them a memorial. They're going to continue to worship me. So I will reward them. And then I'm going to gather those who know me. I'm going to gather them together in fellowship. Oh, if you are feeling left out, you're feeling forgotten, feeling neglected, feeling dried up, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And let the shepherd take his rod, and maybe you're experiencing that rod. But let him also take the staff and reel you into himself and pick you up out of the mud of the world's stuff. And let him hold you in his arms and let him minister to your deepest need. Will you do that? Will you do that? Isaiah says, God says, hey, I have a word for my followers. But God also has a word to his leaders in verses 9 through 12. Notice what he says, come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. That's the NIV. And tomorrow we will be like today or even far better. Now, before you are tempted, can I be honest with you? Before you are tempted, in verse 10, don't be tempted to say, the politicians are blind, they all lack knowledge, they all are mute dogs, they cannot bark. God's word is talking about leadership, but he's talking about his leadership in the nation of Israel, God's leadership. Oh, yes, that's, and how would we apply that today? The pastors, preachers, yeah, myself, I'm looking at that. And what does he say? He has a word for them. What is it? In verses 9 and 10, he's going to reprimand them. He says, this is what they are. They all lack knowledge. I'll reprimand them because you've been irresponsible. You're not aware of the danger. You're blind and you're ignorant of the warning signs. You're sleeping and daydreaming in your duties. In verse 11, you're greedy, selfish. You mistreat those you look after. And you are acting foolishly in verse 12. This is horrible. What a warning. What a wake-up call. If God has placed you in a place of influence as a leader in your home, you're the spiritual leader there, men, of your home, wake-up call. It's not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, it's I represent Christ. I'm his ambassador. And I will be held accountable for how I conduct myself as a leader, as a shepherd. May I have understanding. May I not seek my own way. May I seek others above myself. May I not seek my own gain, but be able to be in that possession to bless others. What a word to all leaders, but especially to those in the household of faith. God says, I know what's going on. I know the hearts of men. He even says that a little bit later. And we see, then he goes on, he says, listen, I have a word to the unfaithful in verses 1 through 13 of 57. I have a word to the unfaithful. God says there, notice, he says, the righteous perish and no one takes it to heart, and the devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. We stop at the first part of that verse. The righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. We say, oh, I don't want to be righteous then. I'm going to be gone. But the blessing is the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Verse 2, those who walk uprightly enter into peace. Hallelujah. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, verse 3, come here, you children of sorcerers, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. Indeed, they are your lot. Yes, to them have you have poured out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In view of all this, should I relent? God is really speaking through Isaiah. He's laying it out. He's holding back no punches. He's saying, listen, I know about the unfaithful. I know what you're doing. You're going through the motions. You might say you know me, but you don't know me. In fact, your conduct exhibits that. You go to fortune tellers instead of seeking me first. You worship other things, idols, instead of worshiping me first. You are unfaithful in keeping my commandments. You sin and you're foolish. You're filled with lust, immoral sex, idolatry, murder of innocent children. The unfaithful are worshiping idols. In verse 6 of stone, the unfaithful have committed adultery and prostitution with idols in their homes. And he likens it to, yes, individuals opening up their bedroom, which is to be sacred, a place of intimacy, and just saying it's a place to enslave yourselves to morality. The unfaithful seek advice from the dead. We could go there. Verse 10, they're addicted to their idolatry. Verse 11, they're unfaithful. They've forgotten God and they stop being fearful of who he is. He goes on. The unfaithful think they're good, but they're not. The unfaithful will not be saved by their idols, only by coming to God for protection. Notice verse 13 of 57. He says, when you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. And we think, wow, God's really upset. He's really upset. Fooey on youy. But notice what he says. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. Listen, if you are on that side of unfaithfulness, God is calling you back to be faithful to him. He's calling you back to be faithful to him. Come back to him. Come back to him and he will restore you. Hallelujah. He will restore you as you come back to him. He will refresh your soul. The unfaithful will not only be They will not be saved by their idols, but they'll only be saved by coming back to God for protection. Returning to him, will they be saved? There's hope. There's hope. And if you're in that spot, listen, there's hope. Just come to Jesus. God says the unfaithful are filled with that. Idolatry, selfishness, immorality, and rebelliousness. The unfaithful will not be saved by their idols. Only by coming to God for protection, returning to him, will they be saved. And then we see the fourth word, God's word to the contrite, to those who may feel broken in spirit, broken in heart, in verses 14 through 21. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road. Other translation says, get ready, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite, I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry, for then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger, yet they kept on in their willful ways. I've seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. What is God saying to the brokenhearted? He's saying, I am with you. He's saying, get ready. Listen, I'm here to help you. I will pick you up. I will not stay angry with you forever. Your greed, yes, has made me upset and angry. I know all about you, what you're like, but I'm going to heal you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to give you comfort. And I, the Lord, I will heal you and give you peace. If you find yourself this morning hour in that place of brokenness before the Lord, God is wanting to meet you there in that wounded time of brokenness and heal you, and give you his peace. And he says this, there's no peace for the wicked, but there is peace for the righteous. All chaos around you can be just, the world can be going out of control. But if you have Christ in the center and you have surrendered to him, you've given everything over to him, your wants, your wishes, your wounds, he will grant his peace and comfort. Better than grits and eggs. Better than that cheeseburger. Better than maybe that donut. He will give you his comfort. So what is God saying to you from His Word this morning, and how will you respond? Remember what the psalmist says, I, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Will you let Him heal you? Revelation 3:20, Jesus said this, listen, I'm standing and knocking at your door. I'm knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will eat together. Are you willing to let Jesus bring you comfort, bring you healing, to bind up your wounds, to strengthen you, to refresh your soul, to say, hey, listen, you're not dried up. I'm not finished with you yet. There's much to do for the kingdom. We have much to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
We have much to do for the kingdom. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. Because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. That if we know you, if we've surrendered to you, if we yielded ourselves to you, you've given us a new name written down in glory, even as the gospel song says, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine, because it's you, Lord, who have given us, who have made us in your likeness. You have created us, but you have forgiven us, and you've adopted us as your children. As many as received you, you gave them the right to be called children of God. I pray, oh God, Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has not received you as their Lord and Savior by placing their faith and trust in Christ, they will do so today. This moment, this hour, this minute, right now, they'll say, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I've been unfaithful. I've been irresponsible. Dried up, and I need you to refresh and restore. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and let me live for you. This I pray in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, nothing magical in the prayer, but it expresses your heart. You're saying, my broken heart, Lord, I'm lifting up to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you, and I want you. I want you. So grant me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And if you prayed that prayer, then I praise God because you are His child, and God is going to begin to do a healing work in your life. You're opening up the door of your heart and you're allowing Jesus to come in and have fellowship with you and to eat a meal with you. And maybe it's His comfort food. His comfort food. There's nothing like fellowshipping with Jesus. Nothing like being with Him in His presence. There's nothing like it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Will you come? Christian, maybe you have been that follower of Jesus and the things of this world have captured your attention. It's become an idol to you. Maybe you've desecrated the Sabbath. Maybe you've forgotten just how good God is. He's calling you to come back. He's calling you to return. He's calling you. Prodigal, He's calling you. Will you come to Him today and open up the door of your heart Don't turn him away. The Lord forgives. He forgives. If I confess my sin, John tells us, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Clean before the Lord. The most important thing in this world is your standing before God. Forgiven and cleansed, adopted as his child, made holy because of Jesus. Not standing before him with a hardened heart. Let Jesus in. He will change you for the better. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Thank you, Lord. So, Christian, come to him. You can say, "Dear Lord, I've blown it. I've discovered I can't live a perfect life. I can't live a Christ-like life. I need you. Forgive me. Forgive me when I'm prone to wander. Forgive me when I yield to temptation. Forgive me when I cover up the light of Jesus with my own dark selfishness. Forgive me. And fill me with your Spirit that I may produce the fruit of your Spirit, your love, your joy, your peace, your gentleness, your kindness, your faithfulness, your self-control for your glory. And I thank you, Lord." Father, we give ourselves to you fully today. These moments, we pray, come and have your way as we sing about that beautiful truth of the transformation that you do for those who come to you. You call us your own. You've given us a new name. And we thank you in Jesus' name.